advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome again to another episode of the Sofa King Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
My name is Sofa King Brad on Instagram. I don't know what anybody else has. These guys aren't doing nothing.
I am Sofa King David on Instagram.
I'm Sofa King famous.
Some jackhole already has Sofa King Dave.
You'd have been all Sofa proper like that anyway.
Hit me.
It sounds like you anyway. I think
Sofa
they saved
King
you.
David is who yeah. I am at Instagram.
David either sounds like a little kid, like, or it's more prestigious. Like it's yeah. the English professor, David J. Moten.
I mostly go by Dave. There's a thing though, like Dave's and David's, like they're pretty particular about what they go, but I really don't give a one way or the other, but almost everyone else I know is like, no, I'm Dave. And like, they get upset about it, with the exception being if I am a Dave or a David, I can, like, a friend of mine only goes by David and I can call him Dave and he doesn't get upset. But if somebody else calls him Dave, he gets upset because they don't have the right. But apparently I do have the right.
I know. I just realized Jim is James. I didn't realize that the other day because a guy came into the shop and he was Jim. But I didn't realize that's actually short for James, because James works here and would absolutely freak if you called him Jim.
Yeah, Jim's a horrible name.
And Jin is Jane's.
Is James. What do you mean?
Jin.
Jin?
Is Jane's.
No, Jane's. You made that part up.
I didn't make
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dave has a million little puns this morning.
Little, cracking jokes. Little being little the puns. Key. Yeah.
Meaning not that funny. Some of them were funny, actually.
So, we are gathered here today to mourn the loss of the crack
dearly,
cocaine.
Of the dearly departed.
Yeah, the crack cocaine epidemic
crack
in LA. But really,
epidemic.
It's not. It's actually booming. So actually, I don't know. Is crack cocaine booming anymore? Like,
no,
is
I
it,
think
it's meth now.
Meth is booming and crack
kind of died out. Yeah.
Once the CIA quit smuggling it into the country, it was never the same
yeah.
again.
You know what's weird about addiction?
What?
Is it can happen with hot sauce, and I'm addicted to El Yucateco.
Oh, that's true.
You are addicted.
It is good. I've continued the back massage, but I modified it because on my hardwood floor, it really hurts. And I roll it in a Sofa King Podcast t-shirt. I refined it all the way down to, I fold a t-shirt over perfectly in half, fold the arms in so I have a long rectangle. That's what she said. And then I roll the Yucateco hot sauce up in the shirt, and it is a perfect back massage. And then I just kind of arch my back and roll back and forth until noises stop crunching behind my shoulder blade.
Do you do any other t-shirts, or does it have to be a Sofa King t-shirt?
It's what was handy. It was there. So it's
you should do it
one.
With an El Yucateco t-shirt. Then you'll get like double the El Yucateco.
Synergy.
Yeah, you'll get healing we'll synergy. Mm. You get a plus
Brad's
five.
Brad's actually wearing
bonus.
An El Yucateco shirt today.
Yeah, I am representing El Yucateco.
Repping.
Yep. Walking around in it. People look at me funny too. So. That I know they're noticing the shirt.
They say, you even techo, bro? You just go say that to people?
Do you even techo?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I have to say, Brad, we were listening back to some stuff earlier this week, and I, for half a second, I understood why some people listen to the podcast and think you're Mexican.
Oh.
Yeah, huh. Dave had a moment, an epiphany.
I just turned Mexican in front of you?
No, but I did. Earlier this week, I thought, oh, I could see why someone would possibly think that.
Everybody I mention it to is like, no, they're actually, I told somebody that I was like, did you think I was the Mexican one? And or they said I pictured you different.
Staring at you.
Yeah, they seen me on
they
Instagram
have a face.
They seen me on Instagram and they said I picture you different. And I said, what, was I Mexican? And they were like, no. And I was like, oh, because that's the consensus, is that I'm Mexican. And then they replied back, well, they must be retards. And so I was like, okay, but whatever, it doesn't matter anyway.
I did hear it.
Yeah, I'm black, if you didn't know.
So our topic today, we wanted to get into some conspiracy action. And one of the big conspiracies that I've heard about for a long time that I never really looked much into is there's this conspiracy running around that the CIA was involved in starting the crack cocaine epidemic, specifically in South Central LA, but also in New York and Miami, but more prominently.
Actually, like all over the U.S.
All over the U.S. Yeah. But there was a specific connection, supposedly, with South Central, with the way the drugs were coming in, and allegedly the CIA had something to do with this, and we thought that would be a good conspiracy theory to look into. I was really expecting not to find anything, but lo and behold, there's some legit weird conspiracy shit.
Well, this was one of those conspiracies that if you look up, if you're into conspiracy theories and you look up conspiracy theories that have turned out to be true,
right?
This is one of those.
This is one of those.
So what we're talking about today is not, it's still covered up somewhat, but these have been facts that have been found out and they are legit. There's ex-DEA heads that have said, no, the CIA is smuggling in drugs without our approval, which is unlawful, you know. And so the other thing is, too, our friends in Arkansas might be aware of or maybe unaware of. But there is actually a place in Arkansas where the epidemic was kind of started by one of the head MENA airport.
Yeah, MENA. Yeah.
By one of the head
duffel bags on parachutes.
Yeah. They would actually drop in drugs to this area from planes.
Apparently Ron Howard is making a movie about that right now.
Yeah. There's some weird stuff. I was trying to stay in LA because we talked about the CIA LA, you know, drug epidemic.
Right.
And everything that I found led me into Arkansas. Like it was just a continuous stream everything with this epidemic in Arkansas. And I was like, Arkansas? Like there's not even a whole lot of people in Arkansas. Like how is there a drug epidemic? But it was just how they were getting it into the country.
How it was getting in.
That
was
and there's less people there. And it was an inconspicuous place. So that's where, you know, it kind of centered.
So the crack epidemic, I mean, I think we should talk about that first because that's if you're a younger listener or if you weren't hip to South Central LA in the 80s and 90s, I mean, crack was really bad.
5 o'clock crack hour. Crack, Dave Chappelle.
Crack was a hell of a drug. Some stuff that I looked up on crack. One thing is, and it's one of the reasons that when this conspiracy theory came out, the black neighborhood were especially upset because 80% of all people in prison for crack are African American. So obviously it was predominantly in black neighborhoods and or there were legal policies in place to specifically target African Americans or whatever. But if you look at powder cocaine, the majority is Hispanic, white.
Yeah, it's more of white and right, Hispanic. Right. So crack cocaine is the hard rocks.
They mix it with baking soda and then rebake it down.
Yeah, so powder,
smaller percentage of cocaine represented.
Yep, and regular cocaine is snorted usually.
Yes.
Crack is either, do they shoot it up too? I think they...
You can get either in your body.
It's primarily smoked.
Yeah.
And I read a report that came out of Harvard called Measuring Crack Cocaine and Its Impact. Very legit, sort of like one of those crazy statistics. I can barely make heads or tails of it, kind of like hardcore academic things. But I kind of pulled out some of the highlights that I saw. The number one highlight wasn't a statistic. It was actually a heading within the paper. And there was a section of the paper called The Prevalence of Crack Across Time and Space.
Oh, wow.
Which
wow.
I thought sounded deep. Really
I think they were on crack.
It's like Doctor Who showing up with a crack pipe. Like, I thought that was a very strange title. But some of the stuff in there, just looking at, because I wanted to find out how bad was the crack epidemic. They identified it as the years 84 to 89 were like the worst of it, like when it was like at its absolute worst.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan was actually a big part.
A crackhead.
Yeah, he was a crackhead.
He did.
He was actually a big part of basically overlooking. And this is the thing I think
overseeing
people,
or overlooking? Well, those are
they,
opposites.
They overlooked, like they just didn't pay attention to it. They knew it was going on.
His whole campaign is the war on drugs.
Yeah.
Right. Reagan, Ronald
yeah.
Reagan, war
Nixon.
On drugs.
Nixon, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton all are involved in this.
I have to jump in a fun fact. I shared the same birthday as Ronald Reagan. And when I was a little kid, for whatever reason, I don't know, no Netflix and cheeseburgers. I was like a little politician and I loved Ronald Reagan for some reason when I was like five, probably because we had the same birthday. But I actually wrote a letter to Ronald Reagan when I was 5 years old about sharing the birthday and about nuclear disarmament. And I got a letter back and an autographed picture of Ronald Reagan. And my mom and grandma have like copies of the Bakersfield Californian with me sitting on the front page holding a presidential letter and an autographed picture of Ronald Reagan with my little alfalfa blonde.
And the sad thing
like
is
a little Alex P. Keaton over here.
Okay, so funny you said that. They called me Alex P. Keaton when I was little. And I would, that was like my little idol, yeah.
And it, the letter just said, hey, kid, stay in school.
Yeah.
I'm not very politically informed anymore. I'm not involved in anything. I honestly don't vote. But when I was little, like my uncle would get mad at me and argue with me because he's a Democrat. And then when I was little, I was like the little Republican for whatever reason. I knew no better. And they would just let me run with it because it was cute. But he would argue with me on political stuff. And I would be like, he's wishy-washy on all the issues. That's like a famous quote from when I was like five or six. I said, he's wishy-washy on all the issues. And I got mad and threw a fit and like ran off under the table.
So when you were young, what was your stance on the crack epidemic?
I probably didn't know any of that because I loved Ronald Reagan when I was little. I didn't want him to be a bad guy.
Oh, that's right.
Well,
this wasn't known back then.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this is all stuff that came out
after
96 and later,
right.
Up to 2004, you know, this information has come out.
Yeah. But so some of the things real quick from that Harvard report, during the crack epidemic, homicide rates for black males, 14 to 17 doubled, for 18 to 24, they nearly doubled. There was a record rise in fetal death, in low birth rate babies, low birth weight babies, record rise in violent crimes, weapon arrests, and foster children in South Central LA during the crack.
Sounds like a zombie breakout.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and people dying and babies coming out bad.
60% of all drug arrests in South Central LA for that period of time were based on crack. Which is pretty massive.
I think after looking at this, like, there's a lot of, like, you know,
60%
blame at the whole, like, oh, they aimed it at African Americans and whatnot. But I really think it just has to do with economics. Like, it was sold. Yeah,
who's buying drugs? And it's cheap.
Yeah, like rich South people. Central LA. Rich people, like in Beverly Hills, aren't buying crack. They're buying coke.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so they make crack to make a low cost, you know, form of cocaine.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to afford cocaine if you lived in the ghetto. No.
Yeah, you could buy crack for $5 though.
Yeah.
You could buy a rock.
Yeah, you could buy a rock and you'd have a week's worth of smoke.
It created a commodity for gangs too. So Bloods and Crips, like street gangs, those aren't a bunch of white guys. You know what I mean? Those are not white guys. And they're in South Central and they're in neighborhoods where it's not predominantly white. And it became a commodity. And so then you get things like turf wars and territory and people my corner.
It creates the epidemic.
It created that, but it's probably just a side effect of the newfound commodity
in
the market.
Yeah. So all of this comes from Nicaragua, which I didn't really understand.
Nicaragua.
I didn't really understand the link because I really didn't know a whole lot about this topic. I've heard, same as you, Dave, I heard like, oh, the CIA drug trafficking, you know, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
And it's kind of like this thing that once we get interested in it, we start looking at it.
Right.
And I was like, what is this Nicaraguan Contra, or, you know, the Contras? Right.
And that was the thing. And I had heard
what's going on here.
I had heard of the Iran-Contra affair, which is a totally separate thing. Yes. It happened before this did. Yeah. And the Iran-Contra affair was a thing where they were selling, the U.S. government was selling weapons to Iran.
To the Contras. Now,
well, no, they're selling weapons to Iran to get money to give to fund the Contras.
Yes.
In sort of this weird thing, but that isn't what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So this,
they're similar, but they're not the same thing.
Yes.
Because do you want to talk about the Nicaragua history?
if you want, if you have some stuff on it. So this is all basically everything that the CIA and really from what I found, the CIA, it's kind of hard to pin this on the CIA, you know, there was no like super hard evidence that came out that was like, oh, the CIA did these exact things. It's just known that the CIA helped and basically turned their head. And there were certain officials that they don't know made it possible.
The CIA to get drugs definitely into the knew all of the yes. things that were happening.
Yes.
But there's not necessarily evidence that the CIA intended this to be a consequence of what was happening, yes. but they sure knew it was happening and didn't do anything to yep. stop it.
And that's why I said the presidents also, like right. it went up the chain that far.
So in Nicaragua in 1979,
We'll cut it in.
They, in 1979, the Sandinista National Liberation Front overthrew the dictator who ran the country, whose name was Anastasia de Bail. And the U.S. government, because they couldn't keep their fingers out of anything, apparently, in the 1970s, because it was the Cold War.
It's the same now. We're overseas. I mean, constantly just dabbling in everybody else's issues.
But it's like when we looked at all the Cuba episode
yeah.
and, you know, all the stuff like Che was in other, you know, South American countries watching the U.S. get involved. And it's like basically all these countries had dictators that were falling and the CIA and the U.S. government was afraid that every single one of them were going to get support by the Soviets and yeah. become part of the Soviet side
right.
and make us lose the Cold War. Yeah. So when
and going in and attacking them is the always the way
that's always
to
the best
out.
Way to yeah. do it. So there
I was
going
to say, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me that the U.S. is like the nosy neighbor
yeah.
that everybody hates.
Yes.
Like that's,
no, that's absolutely
business.
What we're true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
Yeah. So Frontline, the PBS journalistic entity, said, quote, in the winter of 1982, as the United States was plotting how to overthrow the Sandinista government that came to power in Nicaragua, a letter called a Memorandum of Understanding was being drafted in Washington, D.C. The presumptive author was the U.S. Attorney General, the late William French Smith, and the recipient was the CIA agency director, William Casey. So the straight up U.S. Attorney
heard,
General
yeah,
and the CIA director
yeah.
are writing memos to each other of how to get involved with the CIA to mm-hmm. overturn this government, to make sure that the government goes where they want it to go. And they end up backing a group called the Counter-Revolutionaries, which everyone just called the Contras,
yep.
which were the Counter-Revolutionaries. So the revolution was supposedly communist in nature,
yep.
overthrew the government, and we didn't want that. So these Contra guerrilla fighters, which were really, I mean, I didn't dig into it deeply, but every article I read about it said that they were known for humane violations. They were, I mean, they were pretty terrible, like murderous, awful, yeah. violent people, but they were in the country and they were opposed to that government. So the CIA started to fund them with money and with weaponry to help be a thorn in the side
this,
of this new
government.
Isn't
this classic American, mm-hmm. like, let's give these horrible people mm-hmm. weapons and money so that they can overthrow this yeah. other government that we yeah. don't like? Just yeah. to turn around and hate us
again. Like, I always laugh for anyone who's seen the third Rambo movie where he's in Afghanistan
where he's got the gold,
fighting the Soviets.
He's got the gold AK in that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's in Afghanistan fighting the Soviets, and
Rambo
he basically,
three.
When he's about to die, he gets rescued by all the people that the
Spoiler.
Soviets are fighting. But like, he's basically...
If you haven't seen Rambo by now. Like,
I mean, Rambo in Rambo 3 is working with Al-Qaeda, is basically yeah. what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Rambo and Al-Qaeda training each other to stop the evil Soviets, and it's like, but the same thing. Like, I mean, we're backing the Afghans to stop the Soviets, and then guess what? Oh, now they want to kill us, and they're well armed. So stay tuned. More CIA. We're going to get you.
This is the world famous Sofa King podcast. Stay tuned and listen to more awesome words.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast, and today we're talking about the conspiracy theory about the CIA being involved with the crack epidemic and having a direct involvement with how crack was getting into the country during the main boom of crack in the 1980s. And again, like we said at the top, this is one of those topics that we were looking into because we had heard about it but had never really dug into it any deeper. I didn't really expect to find much of a link, but it turns out there's quite a few links. So
yeah.
when we ended the last segment, we were talking about the fact that the Contras were a group in Nicaragua who, and I will try to stop doing that. Beavis and Butthead training.
Me and Bryn are just staring downward. Like.
Every time I hear Contra, I just keep thinking about Nintendo. I hear the music in my head.
Yeah, I was like, what are Contras? I was like, is that the same thing? They are. They're like little fighter guys.
I need to point out that our guest, Jordan Schwora, the previous guest from like Federal Reserve and whatnot, can beat Contra with one man, no 30-man code necessary. And I called him out on it one time. He downloaded the ROM on a PC in front of me and an emulator, loaded the game, started it, and beat the whole game in like 20 minutes in front of me to call me out because I said, no way you can beat Contra with one man because I have to use the 30-man code and I still don't beat it. And he did it with one man on a keyboard, not even a Nintendo like controller. He just did it with like arrows and the space bar or whatever is happening. Like a boss.
Do it now.
Like I was impressed. Like wow. Jordan is a smart man. He has like a double degree and he has a lot of attributes that are very positive. Yeah. But that's the one that stands out to me that he just
He went to college in Canada though, I think, didn't
no,
he?
No, he's from here. He moved here when he was little.
Did he?
Does he work for the green card though.
Does he work for the CIA and smuggle crack?
Maybe, probably, man.
He probably does.
He probably does.
That's the thing. That's the test. That's their handshake. You have to beat Contra in 20 minutes with one man so they know you're real.
That's something CIA would require.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would. So what happens here is, so we've got this thing, right? A communist government is taking control of the country. So the Contras start to try to take them down, and the U.S. starts to fund the Contras with weapons, training, et cetera. Mm-hmm. CIA agents on the ground with small guerrilla groups trying to coordinate how they're going to attack, et cetera. Yep. Like sanctioned from the federal government, from the White House. Like this is
indisputable. Is it Owens?
I don't know the general. Yeah.
United States to save the day. Here we come.
I mean,
what happened was like they had some bust, like they did a big drug bust and they were like, look, we have all this money. Like, why not use it? That's what I was reading. And like the general like originally proposed, like, why don't we use this money? And they're like, no, we can't do that. But then someone was like, damn, that is a good idea. Is that my cuss word? Does that count? Does the D word count?
Damn doesn't
count. No, damn doesn't count.
Beavers.
Now he just said it like eight times. Well,
that's what beavers build. I mean, and that's what I'm referring to. It stops a lot of water. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
But
it has nothing to do. Why don't you stay on topic?
I'm talking
about video games and beavers.
So the CIA starts funneling money, and it's hard for them to funnel money without having a black operation that's, you know, hidden from Congress. So
what got to be black?
What better way than to give them money than to let them smuggle drugs into the United States?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So since Nicaragua is
it's getting worse. Like it's like
Nicaragua. He just starts coughing at the end of it.
Is that from Beavis and Butthead?
Uh-huh. That's corn. Okay. That's how Cornholio says.
Oh, so he never
Has
said
ever
Nicaragua,
been quoted
though.
To say Nicaragua, or you just did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Lies. He's lying.
No, go watch it. Cornholio says Nicaragua, Nicaragua.
Pee pee for my bunghole. That was really good, actually.
So,
anyway,
they obviously there's cocaine down there. They figure out we can get it into the country and they start getting it here. They start selling it here. And that's how they're making extra money to fund their cause. And again, you know, what Brad said earlier, the CIA wasn't selling drugs to people in South Central LA to fund things or to deteriorate South Central or whatever. But the CIA had people.
It was their idea.
I mean, it was their idea. They were embedded with all these rebel, all these Contra groups. They were watching them and helping them smuggle drugs into the country so that they would end up in South Central LA. They were completely knowledgeable of it. But it's not like it was their call. But once the ball started bouncing,
they weren't
going to stop.
Like the back door's open. I'm going to leave the back door open right now. Make sure that you have a vehicle that runs well.
Yeah. Well, even from the stuff I read, they weren't, it's not even like the CIA was like helping them get it into the country through some channels. It's just, there was a CIA guy probably in the plane watching the way these Contras were smuggling.
They were there.
And they were like, there's a good chance they were sitting right there. You know, they might've been helping, but it wasn't like they were using like CIA spy gadgets to get the drugs in here. But the CIA was present.
They were just making sure everybody turned their head.
Yeah. Right. Fun fact. It's called crack because they snuck it in their ass crack.
No.
That's how they got
that's
it in.
That's not really.
That's the fact.
That is not a fact. You made
that is
up.
The fact.
Who snuck it in their
Nicaraguans.
In their bad word crack. No.
In their bad word crack.
Yeah, you said a bad word again.
What?
Unless we're referring
to
the anatomical.
I didn't say a bad word.
Version of a.
I didn't say a bad word. I said crack.
Is that seriously where the term came from?
No. No, in no way.
It's not. No. So I have, there were some numbers, and from what I could account
for. That's a Brad quote. So there were some
numbers. And what I could account for, the CIA, helped smuggle in upwards of 27 tons of crack cocaine. 27 tons.
Of cocaine. Yes.
Crack.
Cocaine. It wasn't crack when it got here. They didn't. They made the crack in South Central. They made the crack in the bad neighborhoods. Yeah, they boiled it. They baked that stuff down. They mixed it up here with baking soda.
Why would you make
so many tons, make it a quantity bigger, and then have to...
No, and that actually, that makes the statistic worse. It's 27 tons of pure cocaine.
Yeah, and then they quartered it. Yeah. So, yes, so there's hundreds of millions of tons.
You just bring the Kool-Aid packs. You mix the sugar and the water here.
And so what happens is this is all going on, and people already knew about this. The Associated Press wrote a story about this in, I think, 1985. And said that basically this whole thing was going on. In 1989, Senator John Kerry ran a thing called the Kerry Committee for the for Congress. It was a congressional hearing, basically. And this is in 1989.
But that's all I
can
do.
Yeah,
just spoiler alert. If you go on YouTube or anywhere and watch documentaries on this, be prepared to watch horrible documentaries. These are some of the worst documentaries I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're bad.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah. So we're doing you a favor right here, people.
But their findings, the committee's findings, basically the congressional hearing concluded that there was considerable evidence linking the Contra drug running directly to the CIA, but the entire hearing was eyes only classified. So basically all of the findings that they made, no one could see at the time. So the fact that this was happening couldn't be made public because of top secret level nature of some of what was going on. But that was their whole conclusion in their findings, because eventually this document got released. It said, quote, "It is clear that individuals who provided support for the Contras were involved in drug trafficking. And the CIA, we know, was directly the ones who were in support of the Contras. The supply network of the Contras was used by drug trafficking organizations, and elements of the Contras themselves knowingly received financial and material assistance from drug traffickers. In each case, one or another agency of the U.S. government had information regarding the involvement of either while it was occurring or immediately thereafter."
The
Congress itself said multiple U.S. agencies are directly funding and sponsoring the Contras, and yes, the Contras are trafficking drugs through major criminal organizations into the United States.
Yeah. And this is the mid 80s that they knew this.
Right.
I want to take a little bit of heat off of Reagan. Like, it's not a flattering comment that I'm going to make in any way, but I watched one of the documentaries and it said that Reagan was actually known to watch reruns of Leave It to Beaver. Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver.
I like Leave It to Beaver.
Damn it.
That's a good.
I need to see Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver. Sometimes I want to make jokes on purpose that are funny, but it just usually accidentally.
I see. I'm hoping someone's already done a YouTube mashup of some Leave It to Beaver clips with Beaver in there saying ridiculous things. If just, not, it needs to be done.
He just walks in with a pet monkey and Selena Gomez. Damn it,
Dave's gonna choke on coffee.
I almost did a coffee spit take.
But they literally said that Bush Sr. kind of sort of ran the show during that era, because during intelligence briefings, I guess Ronald Reagan didn't want to pay attention and like would watch Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Instead of, he was more interested in doing that.
Like. Yeah, the briefings. And so like that goes into, Bush killing Kennedy. He ran the show for a lot of stuff.
Whose throat noise was that?
That's mine. That's dope. That's going to get super loud after editing.
So anyways, it doesn't make him innocent, I guess, but he was watching Leave It to Beaver while they were
That makes it worse because he didn't care. He's the president of the United States and does not care about the meeting with her.
Yeah.
This is great.
He was a cowboy actor or whatever anyway. It's a weird thing. He might have been like just... no. puppet.
He was
thing.
The perfect talking head for Bush Sr.
Well, yeah. Bush Sr. ran the show. Political backgrounds, yeah. though, at least. Like, he was an actor, right? What was Ronald Reagan's thing before he was...
He was an actor. Then he became governor of California.
Some Schwarzenegger thing happened.
And then, meanwhile, you know, Bush Sr. is head of the CIA. Like, all this crazy... And the thing that I loved is, like, if you go and you watch old clips of, like, Saturday Night Live or anything in the media, like, Bush Sr. during the entire Reagan administration was like satired as this bumbling oaf who couldn't get anything right and didn't know anything, and it was like that's like the most brilliant opposite. Thing ever for yeah. this like super genius evil yeah. CIA
oh,
leader
yeah, yeah. Know, straight fantastic. Up straight up head of the CIA super
so
evil
good.
Yeah, I don't care who you know or what secret club you're in, you don't get to be head of the Central Intelligence Agency no. if you're not intelligent,
if you're yeah. a babbling idiot yeah, yeah. yeah it just doesn't make any sense.
That's a yeah
that's but that's
a,
why people say oh well he couldn't have done anything, he was an idiot. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Yeah, he could have got a president elected yeah. who's a complete idiot and pulled all the strings.
Yeah, he was doing everything.
Yeah.
That's why I wear a helmet.
So it's just all, to throw you guys all off. This stuff. I know you guys didn't see did you guys see anything about the train murders?
No.
Okay, so you know what Dave and Brent are talking about is in LA. Like, that's one specific area where the crack really got bad because of the large amount of people. Cheap drugs, you know what I mean? And, right. and a poor population. So I ran across this thing and it's dubbed the train murders. You can look it up. And
I did see something, but I didn't dig into
it. So it happened in Arkansas. And what happened was supposedly, and there's different accounts because the local law enforcement, the CIA,
it's two young boys.
Two boys.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I did read that.
Everybody involved covered up what really happened. And there's some crazy stuff.
I saw the press act real weird.
Yeah. So
very vague.
Well, yeah. What happened was, these two boys were out middle of the night, and basically witnessed a drug drop from a plane. And then ended up dead on the tracks, decapitated by a train. They had a tarp over them.
A green tarp.
Yes. And they basically said, no, there was no tarp. It was an optical illusion. And
when was the tarp over them?
When the train ran them over, the tarp was on them. When the train ran them over,
okay.
The engineers, there's three of them, saw the tarp.
Sitting at different positions at different angles, so not yeah. an optical illusion.
Yeah, and so they actually showed the examiners who were there the tarp. Like, they were like, this is it. This is what was on them. Because obviously it probably blew off after the train hit them.
Right.
So they told the mom and the dad and everything, no, there was no tarp. It was an optical illusion. Basically that they got really high and fell asleep on the tracks in identical positions, laying across the track where they would get, you know, their heads chopped off. And then years later, they had them re-examined by a different medical examiner who then found out one of them was stabbed and the other one was hit in the face with the butt of a rifle before they were decapitated
and
by the train.
All their blood, like their blood was coagulated in their lungs.
Yeah,
it was like
yeah.
black tarry. Yep. Like when they were
already
on the tracks.
Yeah.
Like the blood was
there
not
was no
consistent
blood.
With fresh blood.
Yeah. So there's a big. This story is a huge story on itself. It's a huge cover up by the county. This goes into Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton basically was the governor of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening in Arkansas. The medical examiner who examined the bodies and who lied about basically what happened to them was in
Hillary Clinton.
No, he was actually good friends with Bill Clinton. Now,
they
the reason
sacks
that
together,
the reason, yeah, the reason no. He gave him blowjobs on the frequent.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that this is important is because of a place called MENA. Now, MENA is an airport that's located in Arkansas that they were using to traffic drugs in and out. And it's an inconspicuous place. It is in, it's just basically kind of in the middle of nowhere. So it's the perfect, you know, little spot that they were using to get drugs in and out of the U.S. By a guy named Barry Seal. Barry Seal was a huge drug trafficker. And he was using this specific place to traffic these drugs in and out of Nicaragua, or actually out of Nicaragua into the U.S.
So this was all still part of the Contra network.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is the same thing. And this is the big drop zone basically for the Nicaraguan cocaine. There was basically due to this case, Jean Duffy, she was the Arkansas deputy DA. Mm-hmm. They basically ran her out of state. Because she was getting too close to solving, you know, why these boys got killed, and basically leading up to the CIA being involved, local law enforcement. They actually named the two guys who got seen beating the two kids. They were saw at a local store.
He's putting himself in Arkansas.
Yeah. Man, they were good. Should I do that? No.
I have friends in Arkansas.
Bam, 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 bam. No, they were seen.
They all do play banjo, though. That's the truth. They do all play banjo. It's a requirement.
Should we put banjo music behind this?
When you graduate from high school.
So, yeah, they were seen beating these two boys. They were known by name because they were local law enforcement. And there were some other men there also. None of this was taken account by, you know, any judge, any type of law enforcement. Nobody, you know, they said nope. They were high. They fell asleep on the track.
So these two kids had reported seeing a drug drop, and
no,
then this happened later.
No.
Is that what's?
No, they got killed right after they saw it, and then all these pieces were put together.
How does anyone know they saw it though? I watched that mini documentary about that same killing.
Well, this was like this was like an hour and a half long thing. Yeah. There was like tons and tons of evidence.
But I wonder how anyone knows they saw it.
Well, this was the thing. As the mom snooped around and the DA and some investigators snooped around, it came out that there were drug drops happening
right
that night.
Because I could see smoking on a railroad track and kicking their head back on the rail and laying in the same position. But I did see all the evidence of the blood and whatnot.
Yeah, and they said that they were so high that they passed out. Like they had massive amounts of marijuana.
I also believe that could happen to some teenagers in Arkansas with nothing to do.
Regardless of what they saw, that's a pretty big stretch for a medical examiner to say, nope, they were both decapitated by a train, end of report.
Yeah.
And then another one to come back and say, well, except for the fact this one was stabbed, their blood was already coagulated, and that one got hit.
And
in
I heard
the
story changed. Like originally they were going with like suicide or something.
Well,
they'll never buy it.
Yeah, he was going with suicide because they got high and fell asleep. So it was suicide basically. And he said that the parents would never buy it. And so he changed his report to massive amounts of marijuana.
From some marijuana in their
you know, system to massive amounts.
Right.
And that they just fell asleep and, you know, got hit by the train. So there was a lot of weird stuff going on, and it was under Clinton, and it was his buddy. And this whole time that this drug trade was going on in MENA, all this stuff started coming out that there was, you know, drug drops. Oh, wait a minute. They started putting everything together that these boys probably saw a drug drop and were killed. Who knows if that's really, you know what I mean? If really that happened, but that's what they put together. And, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things that I don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, you're rambling.
Fuzzy bears. For the music messed me up again. Fuzzy bears and dingleberries.
Separate yourself from the morons. Listen to more on SofaKingPodcast.com. Stay tuned through the break.
All right, welcome back to the Sofa King podcast. We are the Sofa Kings, and we are talking about CIA drug trafficking. And MENA, Arkansas, we were just talking about, and how it isn't...
The last line was fuzzy bears and dinkleberries. Yeah. Because
Brad's kryptonite is outro music.
Yeah. So Brent's making fun of me because I can come in super strong, but then like as soon as music hits or like the outro,
you
I
panic.
Just... Yeah. I don't know what it is, man. No,
it's like a runaway train.
I can't stop talking. Like it's like it goes and I'm like, okay, I need to stop, and I can't stop. Like it's and it's like just like just nothing like, is in my head.
Hey guys, that music means we'll be right back.
Like, it's just, I don't, no, it sucks, doesn't. Though. It's just endless. Yeah. It's just like the endless sentence.
Yeah,
like there's no end punctuation. It's just commas
and
words.
And then with the thing and lady, hi.
It's bad. I don't know. It's like a legitimate. I'm not doing it to be funny.
No.
Like it really, I can't do it.
Next time the music comes on, just suck. I'm just gonna suck your thumb.
No.
And then we'll go out.
No. As soon as the music starts, I'm just gonna be like, yeah, so about. Just like, I'm just gonna stop, like, whatever I'm saying, just stop, and somebody's gonna have to pick up. Like, that's what's gonna have to happen.
Just order at Taco Bell through the drive thru the next time the music starts. Just do your Taco Bell drive thru order.
Let me get two bean burritos, sour cream, extra sauce, and large Mountain Dew. Yeah, that's it.
Are you a no onion guy?
No, I eat the onions.
All right, good.
Dave, they usually don't hardly onions? Put any onions on a burrito.
I don't eat Taco Bell, so.
Well, no, onions. I said onions, sir.
Yeah, he said onion, guys. Why are you talking about Taco Bell?
Yeah, why are you talking about Taco Bell? We're way past Taco Bell. We're on onions.
Do you eat onions?
Where were you at?
Why?
Do you eat onions?
Those are vegetables. They don't have a face.
Yes, I eat onions.
You like onions? Right. Not cooked onions?
Was that
like
so hard?
Red onions?
Was that so hard?
It's just very, it's very strange.
what is wrong with you?
This is very strange.
This is so strange.
This is just a very strange turn of events.
Well, when I don't study that much, I just take you off topic and I ask you questions about onions and
man.
Shit. Yes, my back hurt. I'm not that well read.
I enjoy a good onion. I like.
Do you eat red onions like apples?
I eat red onions. I eat Vidalia sweet onions.
Ooh,
I eat white onions. I'll saute them.
I call them my names.
Vidalia is my aunt from Oklahoma.
Is it?
Yeah, Vidalia.
Yeah.
Did she smuggle drugs into the country?
No.
In her crack.
She did them.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Interesting.
So. Looking at the CIA stuff, one of the reasons that this came to light and became really public is a figure who I don't know that we've mentioned yet is a journalist named Gary Webb, and legit journalist. He won a Pulitzer for doing reporting on the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989, like full on legit, like high end reporter. And he wrote.
Spoiler alert. He's dead.
Yeah.
Just want to get that out there.
Yeah, under mysterious circumstances.
He shot himself in the head twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one missed.
Yeah.
but hit in his head.
Ricocheted. Yeah. Yeah.
So he worked for a smaller newspaper called the San Jose Mercury News, and he did a 3-day story, like a series called Dark Alliance, the story behind the crack explosion. And this was in 1996.
I kind of called it a crack explosion instead of epidemic, like everybody else was calling it.
Yeah, he called it an explosion. An explosion of crack. He starts to connect the dots in ways that other people quite hadn't. And he had a couple of sources that wished to remain anonymous, so he couldn't really say who they were, but he trusted them. He had allegedly gone to Nicaragua himself.
I think he published his sources on the first release of the Dark Alliance
book.
Thing?
Oh, okay. Not on the articles. When the articles came out, he kept them secret.
Which they don't usually do. Like, they don't tell their sources.
But no,
usually.
I think they had been arrested and were already in jail when he published his book called Dark Alliance, so he was able to come out with their names because it wasn't going to get them arrested. But his whole story, he makes these links between, like, there was a guy named Oscar Danilo Blandon Reyes who was a Contra leader. And he was one of the guys who told Webb that the CIA handlers told him, regardless of what you're doing, the ends justify the means.
Right.
Like, if you're smuggling drugs into the United States, keep doing what you have to do, because the real mission is to make sure that the
Sandinistas
don't run the country.
Yeah.
Like, we're having a secret war down here, and if you have to sell crack in South Central, so be it. Right.
Yeah, is it Blandon? Yeah, he's the one that supplied all the drugs pretty much to Freeway Rick Ross.
Yes.
Which is a super cool story.
And Freeway Rick Ross was the
not
main
the rapper.
Supply, not the rapper. He was the main supplier of crack to South Central. In his hearings, because he did get arrested, it was said that his network was responsible for selling 1 million crack rocks a day in South Central Los Angeles. That's a lot. Ross's mentor and supplier was Blandon. Everyone calls him Blandon, but his last name is Blandon Reyes, but everyone just refers to him as Blandon.
I heard it pronounced Blandon, which is like hard to say, but.
Well, no, but there's another last name after that, but no one uses
Tom Reyes.
Reyes.
Like, yeah. So anyway, but all told, he made $600 million selling crack.
He was like
before
super fly.
Man, we're in the wrong. Well, we discussed selling. Fly. We did discuss selling cocaine to fund the podcast.
Yeah, we did. We should. Yeah. Well, I think it'd be easier if we had a CIA backer. So we need to start
there. We could work on that.
But he makes all these connections and he publishes these articles. And it's really one of the first things that kind of went viral. Super early internet. It kind of blew up over the early dial-up internet days. But a lot of people were interested in the story. He was, you know, he was on CNN, all this stuff. But interestingly, no one else ran with the story.
Right.
Like,
well, they couldn't.
Well, they were first pissed that they didn't have the story. You know what I mean? Everybody freaked out. Like, how do we not have this story? Like, a lot of those huge newspapers were 5 miles away from the parts in LA where it's all happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is part of it because the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, they all over the next couple of years started to smear Webb's name and they were questioning some of the claims that he made. He wasn't going to announce who his sources were, so he had to kind of stand his ground. But they would release stories that like omitted parts of the truth that made Webb look worse. And they right. did. It was really weird. Like the more I read into it and I read some pretty detailed accounts of the variations on the story that these major newspaper companies ran with. And they all, it did seem like some weird kind of cover up smear yeah. story. It was weird. And I was just like, why are you doing like, this is so weird.
Yeah. They mashed on Gary Webb's character.
And it's a huge yeah. story that, you know, even those other newspapers were like, this is a huge story. It's got legitimate sources. We think 90% of it is correct. And instead of them running with the 90% that was correct, all they did was start smearing the 10% that wasn't correct. And they weren't, mm-hmm. you know, and typically if a huge story like that broke, every article, you know, everybody's going to send their own reporters out to look into things, et cetera. And that was just kind of a whole thing that was happening. The New York Times in 98 ran a story called CIA says it used Nicaraguan rebels to accuse of drug tie. And they even announced that the CIA had 24 rebels and their supporters who were trafficking drugs.
Yeah.
And the agency fully confirmed this and decided to keep paying them, decided to keep them on the books. I mean, this was in 98, this came out. Yeah. So, I mean, all the facts were there that what Webb did was correct, but he went through this bizarre smear campaign. He ended up having to quit the newspaper that he worked at because the yeah. editor pulled his support. The newspaper itself started to say that his story wasn't good enough. It's a strange thing.
They released
thing.
An apology letter saying that they were wrong, that they shouldn't have released that information yeah. without enough. Yeah.
Well, and so Robert Bonner, who was the head of the DEA at the time that all this was happening, actually on camera tells the reporter that the CIA was smuggling in drugs, tons of drugs. It was not cleared by the DEA. Therefore, it was unlawful.
Right.
They were doing it illegally. Well,
they would stop bus. Like there were yep. bus that would happen. They would work all this time yeah. to do these bus. And then all of a sudden the CIA would step in and be like, no, you got to let that through. Like,
yeah. So this and that was the head of the DEA said that the CIA was smuggling in drugs. Like, I mean, this is a legit story.
Well, Blandone or whatever himself, I think it was in the Rick Ross trial. Like,
I wonder if that's where Rick Ross got his name. I wonder if he,
yeah, he did. There's a Joe Rogan podcast that Freeway Rick Ross is on the Joe Rogan podcast, this guy, not the rapper. And they talk about like, there's some drama or something like that guy, like used to be a correctional officer.
Rick Ross was a correctional
yeah,
officer.
And then like, he yeah. became a rapper and he tried yeah. to use that name, like steal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like he was a drug dealer.
For, like, yeah. Street rep. Yeah. And yeah. he's actually a correctional officer.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Fatty. Anyway,
fatty.
That's weird. That was great. So, and then like many reporters since this happened, like from multiple newspapers have come out and said, no, I was told by the editorial board, instead of doing this piece to back up what Webb said, they flew me to Texas to interview some fringe guy in the story that didn't have anything to do with anything. And that was the story we ran with. Or, I mean, they were reporters were being told this. There was a reporter named Jesse Katz for the LA Times.
They were being sent on these like BS. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Reporting
exactly.
missions.
In 2013, he apologized for his role in smearing. He was an LA Times reporter and he's one of them. He was told by the LA Times editorial staff to make Freeway Rick Ross to be a minor player and to try to make a smaller connection between the drugs and the Contras and the CIA. So the main guy that was getting drugs to South Central LA, the LA Times said, you need to make this guy look like a small time joke. So the LA Times was running stories that Freeway Rick Ross wasn't that big of a deal because it made Webb's story suddenly, without Rick Ross, like he was a key part of this, you know, delivery system. So for some reason, this reporter said, no, I was told by my bosses to make him look like he didn't have much to do with this. And it's like all, and it's,
well, that's what they do. They'll smear it until all you can think about is the person and forget about what they actually discovered. You know what I mean? Like,
so it's
like,
I mean, so part of it, I mean, part of me looks at it and starts to think, so was it simply that these newspapers were petty and that they were pissed that some smaller newspaper got the scoop? But then like the tinfoil hat part of my brain comes on and is like, were they under pressure to bury this story? Like, because the AP ran one story in 85 and no one cared and it wasn't quite as big of a deal, but this thing just blew up. And all of a sudden, the three newspapers that you expect to say something, the LA Times, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, all three of them started smearing Webb instead of getting behind it. But as more and more evidence came out, as more and more people got arrested and trials came up and people retired from government industry, all of it keeps confirming that everything Webb wrote was basically true. And Webb never himself in the article said the CIA is smuggling drugs into the country, but all the newspapers were saying Webb said that the CIA was smuggling drugs into the country, and he has no proof of that. And it's like, he never said that.
Yeah. And in interviews, he corrected it every time. Like, right, he would correct, like, right, that's not what we're saying.
But that was one of the things that the newspapers would say is he said this and this isn't true. And it's like, yeah,
they were trying to discredit him.
But why?
You've seen that, like, this week, the Easter Bunny, like that little Conan reel where every single reporter says the same thing over and over because they all got the same facts. They're like robots. They're ready to spit stuff out. So all they have to do is threaten the three editors of the most major papers, and they'll be like, here's what you're saying today. Here's your paper. Yeah. Say it. Go be in front of the camera and say it.
And that's, I mean,
and that's proven. You can see lots of those videos.
And that's the conspiracy theory that the media is ran by the government. It's not really a conspiracy theory. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Like they only spit out information that that's given to them.
Right.
Like they can't go and get their own information.
And so Webb, I mean, because of this smearing, he ended up at the end of his career, he wrote a book called Dark Alliance, which made him a little bit of money that he could kind of live on. But then he was like stuck doing like part-time reporting for some like fifth rate weekend only newspaper, because no one would hire him because of this smear job that happened against him. And on December 10th of 2004, he committed suicide, and he was allegedly chronically depressed, allegedly committed suicide.
You can
I didn't look much into it.
Who shoots himself in the head twice?
He told.
So that's literally what happened.
He had two gunshots to his head.
It was 7 years to the day of resignation from that paper. 7 years to the day he was found
dead.
Two shots in his head.
Now, this is the creepy part, is he told close friends and family that if he was found dead, it wouldn't be a suicide.
Right.
Right.
Which could be part of his plan. He's just really dedicated.
Yeah. Really dedicated.
Yeah. So to me, again, like, this falling in the realm of conspiracy theory, 95% of this is not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact.
It's real.
There was a conspiracy. The CIA was involved with the Contras. They were trying to overturn a Soviet-run government. They were letting drugs come into the country, but they weren't necessarily using their stuff to get them here. It was like, if this group of Contras had a way to smuggle drugs in, that CIA operative would just go along with the plan.
Yeah, because it was funding the bigger picture.
Right.
Like, you know, the war.
He definitely didn't
Nicaragua.
Seem like a crazy man or dishonest. Like, no. You can kind of get a vibe from people sometimes. Like, I saw him on Montel. There was another guy on that Montel show that seemed a little weird, but
his name was Montel.
No, it wasn't Montel.
was it Geraldo Rivera? The mustache?
On the same subject, another guy had written a fictional book because he couldn't write it. He couldn't officially write the truth. So he apparently wrote a fictional novel about exactly what happened, but he states that, no, this is all really what happened, but it's a fictional novel.
It's fictional.
Right.
Which kind of was weird. Like, you can do
that.
Well,
and that's why people get confused with, like what really happened, you know, like there's so many ill facts out there that are just not true. And then there's so much stuff that is unbelievable, but it's true.
Right.
That nobody knows what to think. And now this stuff can be out in the open and nobody cares, you know, like this is, you know, they're, what's the movie you guys watched or the movie that's about this?
Kill the Messenger.
I think it came out in 2014.
Yeah. It's really good. It has Hawkeye too, but he never brings out his bone.
The guy who plays Hawkeye plays Gary Webb.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. It recently came out and I can't remember the name of the documentary, but simultaneously released along with the fictional one, Kill the Messenger, was a documentary about Gary Webb and all the stuff that
One coming out about Freeway Rick Ross called like Crack the Freeway or something like that.
Oh, really? And yeah, we've got the one.
I'm probably saying that wrong. I don't think I said that right yet.
And there's the one about Mina too, about the airport. So this is being highly fictionalized at the moment. And usually with all these things, you're probably also going to get documentaries that drop on the same.
They released a 400-page document, basically confessing and making it public about all this stuff happening. But it came out during the Lewinsky incident and it was just completely ignored.
Right.
So
and it's happened. Funny.
So I wonder if that's the cover up because Clinton was involved in this whole thing. And
he's like, I'll take the blowjob over drug smuggling.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
The other funny thing is part of the research that I did, I actually went to the CIA's website because they have a specific website about the drug smuggling in 96 and all this stuff. And it's the website is just a bunch of quotes from articles about the drug smuggling. It's a really weird website. It's like you go on there and it's like, you know, Gary Webb,
the quote, CIA.
Blah, 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 blah. And there's all these facts that other people, it's not them ever putting a narrative together and saying anything.
Yeah.
It's just a list of like 25 footnotes of people basically saying the CIA did this with no comment, no narrative, no, we didn't. No, yes, we did. It's so weird. I was like, why do you even have this website up? This is such a strange
thing. They're being honest.
Yeah. They're being honest.
Are we thinking sponsors in a minute and 36 seconds? Yeah. Are we coming back after
Are we thinking sponsors? Go. We're coming back. Doesn't matter.
No, we'll come back.
Okay. Come back. I got stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So we're going to say the English version of
Nicaragua.
Okay.
Shortly. But no, so ultimately, I think the real conspiracy theory involved in all this comes down to why did Webb get smeared? Because I don't believe that these newspapers were so unprofessional that they wanted to smear his name, especially when all these reporters come out and they're said, no, my editor told me to dumb this story down. What about his death? Like, so the conspiracy theory really involves Gary Webb and what happened to him after he released these facts. I think the facts themselves are pretty incontrovertible. So keep listening. We're going to do more stuff on the web-only content. If you're on the radio land, then download and listen and love and laugh and learn and like.
Yeah. And, yeah. Well, what happened was, see, they went into the thing and
Just heard a radio edition of the
Don't Be a Retard
podcast. To hear an uncut version of this episode or listen to a separate web-only podcast every Tuesday, visit SofaKingPodcast.com or find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can reach the Sofa Kings at Sofa King Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
So we've officially left radio land and we are now on the web.
That's right.
It's crazy how we can cross-pollinate the interweb.
Across time and space.
Yeah.
Just like crack.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I did have one other bit about CIA drug stuff. And it's just to say, I mean, this specific instance, I mean, nothing that's in here should even like stands out as being odd. I mean, South American government that the CIA is fucking with and trying to kill or depose or control. That was what the 60s and 70s were all about, was the CIA trying to fucking kill Castro, trying to take over different nations. Like, this is what was happening and this is what was happening here. And it's also not the first time by any means that the CIA was funding groups by illegal means. I mean, there was a whole thing that a lot of people refer to as the Golden Triangle. And again, there was a secret war being fought in Laos between 1961 and 1975 between the CIA and various, you know, groups in the jungle. This is during the Vietnam era. And any of you who have heard of like Air America was a front company that the CIA owned, and it was a handful of planes that would fly things to and from around the world, and they typically smuggled in and out heroin and opium, and they would smuggle agents in and out of the jungle and all this stuff using this thing called Air America, and it was all to fund really complex. It was far too complex for me to dig into in much detail, but the whole thing was helping to fund this weird war in Laos that the CIA was in by letting other people sell drugs. They were a little bit more involved then because they owned the fucking airplane.
So it seems like they learned, like they said, like, oh, like we got a little in too deep in this one.
Right.
But it really worked out well. We were able to fund this war through the sale of drugs.
Right.
Do it in Vietnam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do it in, you know, wherever they can. Every time there's some sort of war in an outlying area, they can fund it using drugs because they know America will buy
and
drugs.
And we're still doing it.
So, yeah, we're still doing it. So why keep drugs illegal? Because they make money off of them. If they're legal,
it's supply and demand.
They're going to lose. Yeah, they're going to lose the demand.
Right. They won't be able to sell illegal drugs to contracts.
Yeah, and be able to collect the money out of it because it's going to go to the state.
Right.
And the pharmaceutical companies instead of the CIA or whoever, whatever branch of the government is doing it.
And I know it was especially prevalent in the Cold War. I mean, this was the way we fought the Soviet Union without all of us launching nukes at each other. They tried to take over a country in South America. We funded rebels to stop that takeover. They did the same exact thing back to us. Like, I think we should all be thankful. I mean, personally, I'm thankful this is how it went down instead of us living in a nuclear irradiated fallout world.
Yeah, if you look at it from their side, you know, they're trying to save the country, and the repercussions are there's crack in America.
Right.
You know,
I just feel like if you use your powers for good, like if you put that much effort into.
Well, it's because they're retarded. Yeah. Like that's what they, this is what they do. Stuff, hey, like, Brent, we're in debt. Hey, how about we just tax everybody more? How about we get a new fucking plan? You know, like nobody's original. Nobody thinks this is the same thing they've been doing since, you know, the 50s or whatever. And let's try it again. Let's do it again because it works.
It's
you know,
model, but
who cares if it screws everybody?
Yeah. I just feel like you could building solar farms or something weird. I don't know. Something else. So they could put that much effort into anything else for betterment and you'd still create jobs. You still create money.
I think it's like this though. If they do that, then they have to say, hey, we're doing this to fund this war. And that's what they don't want.
Right.
Because then people are going to be like, no, we don't want that. We don't care about that.
We can hide money. Like, it's not like we can see their checkbook. Like, they can just give the money to whoever. It's like, we don't have to see it. Like, they lose trillions of dollars all the time. Like, right before 9/11 happened, Rumsfeld said we lost like $4.3 trillion and they have no idea where it went.
Right.
And then the next day it was like, kaboom. Like, a bunch of shit blew up. Like, everybody forget about this.
Yeah, right. It was bombs.
You know, and they have the whole spend $20,000 on a hammer and $10,000 on a toilet seat cover, all that crazy shit. They just, you know, they can launder and hide and do all kinds of stuff.
Whatever actions they took to keep us from going to World War III with the Soviet Union, I thank them for taking those actions. But I promise you that 80% of the actions they took were just some fucking corrupt, crooked, fucking weird.
It's
fucking
weird about saving face, though, the pride of it. It's like, oh, these guys are fighting these other guys, not Russia and America. So if it goes bad, nobody looks weaker.
No, exactly. Neither of us look weaker.
We don't look
it's
weaker.
Just fuck Nicaragua. They thrash themselves and their country gets destroyed.
Pride and ego. Yeah. That's so strange that it happens on that level and that it still functions that even though we know, and they know,
right?
The world doesn't know, so the reputation isn't marred.
But the world does know. That's the part that's so fucking weird about it. It's like everybody in the world is like, oh, the Soviets are backing this guy, the Americans are backing this guy. Oh, the Soviets lost that one, therefore the Americans won.
I don't think so. I think everybody's so ill-informed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the media, like that stuff's going on and covering other stuff.
When I say everyone, I don't mean like everyone in the world. I mean all world powers. I mean everyone who's watching is like, oh, fuck, that's what's going on. It's not like it was a hidden secret. It was just, I think the average person didn't bother, you know, caring enough or whatever. But yeah, craziness.
Yeah, I think it's... we need to stop dabbling in all this other shit. You know, like I think that's why everybody hates America. That's what we said earlier, is we're the nosy neighbor who's, well, you know,
7 degrees of economics. Like, yeah, if you don't mess with this, it's going to like trickle down and affect oil prices. And then some imports going to happen here that we lose. And there's,
well,
some
there's such a tangled web now.
Right.
You know what I mean? These hundreds of years of just politics have created this web that we're in.
And I fully agree with that. But I think the problem that we're facing right now, like why nothing fucking works anymore, is because the web has gotten so complex that people will be like, we have to stop that because it's going to have an effect on this, which is going to have an effect on this, which is going to have an effect on this. But they don't think of, everything is so fucking interconnected now. There's no way to track the web. You don't know where your
you
action,
do something and
like
it's going
what
to hit
you
this
did
over
is
going to
trickle that shit over there. And not doing anything is going to trickle that shit. It's like everything is so connected and everything is so public in an interesting way now.
Well, and
too,
it's just like, hey, let's pull out of China. Let's not use China for anything. Well, if we did that, like that's going to create all kinds of problems. Right. Like, no TVs,
and it's like
no clothes.
In,
no.
In 1968, when, you know, the CIA is dropping fucking crates of, you know, M16s into Laos, no one is ever going to know about it.
Right.
Now, some fucking 13-year-old in Laos with a fucking flip phone is going to take a picture of a crate
of guns. You know, he's opening it up. Like, oh, bombs.
And then going to post it on fucking Twitter, and everybody, like, everything is in the open now, and that makes it even fucking weirder. It's
they're like, how do we know the U.S. did that? And it says USA on the crate, you know?
Exactly. So it makes me wonder what level of shadiness they have to do now. Like, how can you still do shit out of the public eye? Like what depths do you have to do now?
Anytime we tell anybody about this podcast, you know, and they're like, well, it's conspiracy theories. And I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. Like I don't sit here and just ruse over the fact that, you know, oh, the government's doing stuff behind our back and all this stuff. I know that. Like, it's not a conspiracy theory.
No. There's just a public, like, negative connotation associated with that.
Anytime anytime you second guess the government, like, it's like, you know, that you're not,
you must
be
crazy.
Yeah, you say 9/11 was an inside job, you know, and just people just go nuts.
And the fact of the matter is, every civilized nation in the history of man has had spies, has had intelligence, has had state secrets. This is fucking normal and natural and necessary. I want us to have a CIA and I want us to have an NSA because they do, in theory, keep us safe. I don't necessarily want them to run the way they run right now, but every nation has spies. Every nation's like, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe America has an echelon program that can listen in on every phone call on Earth. I fucking can.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we? That's dope.
Yeah, we're the nosy. We're the nosy neighbor. We got to hear that conversation.
So it's like, so I'm never going to be the guy that says the CIA shouldn't exist, because I'm sure the CIA does a whole lot of shit
that we should be thanking them for. If you put it in smaller terms and say you have a company that's large enough where you can't oversee everything, you need people in place that can oversee other people and report back to you so you know what's going on in the company.
Right.
You know, and the United States is the same way. You know what I mean? War and just being conniving has founded each and every country that exists today.
Right.
You know,
and screwing over the other guy.
Screwing over the other guy and screwing over the people that live there and everything else. Like that's just how it's gone down forever.
Right.
And it's never going to change. You know, all you can hope for is that it gets to a point where it's bearable.
Right.
You know?
So a lot of the stuff that they do, I'm not all that interested in, but when it's something fucked up, when it's leading to a crack epidemic in a city that's right near me, I am interested.
And it's one of the things though, is that like, you know, there's people out there who believe that our government would never, ever do something to this magnitude, would never, ever kill kids in the Oklahoma City bombing or in Sandy Hook. But yet they've killed, you know, and we're going to talk about this later in the week. If you listen to Friday or on Friday, Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War, 630,000 Americans were killed.
Right.
You know, it's just,
well, when it's out of sight, out of mind, like when a drone blows up a school somewhere, you know, it's like you saw it on the news. It doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
You don't associate it until it happens. Like,
And then here they try and cover it up. And the funny thing about a lot of these cover-ups is they are the absolute worst cover-up ever in the history of cover-ups. Right. They have the worst evidence and just the most blatant facts that they just cover up. And people are like, oh, yeah, yeah. They just eat it.
Think about how many times a drone dropped a bomb on some place in some other country in the Middle East and probably hundreds of children died. And then one kid goes crazy and supposedly kills 37 kids here.
Yeah.
And we flip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's our backyard.
Yeah, because it happened here. Right. But like you don't associate with all those other children that died. Like there's just horrible things that happen on a daily basis.
So what's your final take on the CIA drug smuggling?
I think that it was a solid plan. It's like, obviously you're going to do that. There's drug stuff happening anyway. Why not grab the money in the middle to fund something to ultimately protect your country? And I think that as a side effect, the market that it was, popular in was going to be low income because of the crack. And then it was, the demographic was highly African American. And because of gangs that were prevalent at that time, it became a commodity for trade and it caused extra violence. And unfortunately, women that were having children had crack babies. And I don't think that there was anyone twisting their evil mustache to drive down real estate prices in Compton and LA sell the houses off. Because there was a bunch of stuff on that.
They definitely got fucked hard.
They did.
Like they got fucked hard. They
and it wasn't just
South Central LA was ground zero of a fucking war in Nicaragua.
But I think it was because
the Florida, New York, like any big city, Chicago, like any of these areas that had urban, just the rough, ghetto neighborhoods.
That's who suffered. Yeah. And I'm curious because Highway Rick Ross was smuggling. He was driving all of this stuff from San Francisco to South Central, right? So I'm curious how it got from Arkansas to San Francisco, because it seems like Arkansas to LA would be easier than Arkansas to San Francisco.
Well, I don't think it all went there. There was markets in every state.
Yeah.
All over.
They were flying it everywhere.
Whose fault is it that you're a meth addict? Whose fault is it that you're a crackhead?
It's your own, yeah. You raise a mean argument, Brent. I mean, it's ultimately the choice.
That's like suing fucking McDonald's for being fat when that shit happened.
Yeah.
Like you don't sue McDonald's because you ate a bunch of Big Macs.
I agree, but you smoked crack. If you leave cookies on the table, the kid's going to grab it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's just
one of those things. It's inherent that in low income population, they're going to do drugs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Like sad situations, new reality.
You know what's going to happen when you bring in 27 tons of cocaine into the country. You know exactly what's going to happen. I mean,
that might be even unfair of me saying you smoked that crack.
No, that's a valid argument.
Well, here's my argument.
We don't have to smoke the crack.
I've been trying to be on a diet and like my shoulder hurts for 3 fucking days and literally in the back of my mind,
I'm like,
I'm going to have a fucking Chipotle burrito or Victor's. I'm going to eat bad. I could have totally still got a salad, but I'm like, oh, but I'm hurting. I need pleasure.
Right.
I need something good, but you could smoke
crack cocaine and you'll feel better.
That's true.
You'd feel awesome.
The thing that I take away from this is when I walked into it, I really didn't expect to find a genuine link. I didn't expect to find CIA bringing drugs in, et cetera. And I didn't know shit about the Sandinistas and the Contras. I really didn't know anything about that. So when I dug into it, I was like, oh snap, no, this is a legitimate thing. But I also didn't know about Gary Webb and the weird smear campaign and his quote unquote suicide. Like, I mean, that's where the real conspiracy is. I'm curious to see them. What was the name of the movie?
He's only one person that got
killed. Kill the Messenger.
You watched Kill the Messenger?
I watched the whole thing.
I'm curious to watch it now that
I kind of want to watch it now because I kind of want to.
It's a dramatized version. I don't know how much of that's real accurate, but I like to do it because it gives you a more like passionate, like emotional perspective.
For whatever it's worth, I did read that his wife and kids or something said that it was a really accurate and honest portrayal of himself.
Yeah.
So, and of the event,
the facts are the facts. Like you don't know if they're real or not.
The family tended to give it their stamp of approval as like a good portrayal of what they went through.
Well, and this is what's crazy is this stuff went down, early 90s, mid 80s, through the 80s on in, heavily through the mid 90s when Clinton was president.
And because the story didn't come out until 96.
Yeah, and it's just now really gaining traction. And it's the same thing that who was the guy that killed Kennedy?
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. Abraham Lincoln was put on the CIA wall. Who is it? Not John Wilkes
Booth. Lee Harvey Oswald. That's not really
who
killed him, though. It was the guy in the grassy knoll.
Well, I know, but Lee Harvey Oswald was supposedly the guy who shot JFK, and a couple years ago came out he was a CIA agent.
Right.
Yeah, he was put on the wall.
I haven't seen that. I need to look at that.
Yeah, he was put on the wall, and it was just overlooked completely by everybody, So it's just one of those things that you just believe what you hear, you know, it's just like people online reading, memes on Facebook, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, Hillary Clinton said this thing. Well, no, that was a meme.
Right.
You know, or Donald Trump said this or that.
Just put a quote next to a picture of their face.
That was a meme. Yeah, that was a meme. They did not say that.
Someone posted that. Like, they're all, look. And it was like the most memorable something quote from this person because his picture's next to it. It must
be true.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, and I have a thing on my Instagram of Alfred Einstein.
Yeah.
And it has Einstein's picture there and it says all these, and I literally saw that thing and I'm like reading it and I'm like, he was a prostitute and all this stuff. And, you know, and he graduated from DeVry University and I'm like, what the hell is this thing? And I'm like, oh, Alfred, like, cause your brain just immediately associates this thing with the picture. So, you know, it's funny how rumors and things get spread.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way, and now the government uses that. I think.
Oh, totally. I think they totally.
To their advantage, you know? So,
And I know we had talked earlier about the fact that we need to find a CIA agent who can start helping us sell crack cocaine. But I think we have the equivalent, which is
El Yucateco,
the lovely people at El Yucateco who help us to sell the crack cocaine of hot sauce.
Yeah, a lot of people have been trying to see if they can buy it from us through the website. And
we're not licensed to sell.
Yeah, we can't. I actually asked, but it's like it's a slippery slope of like conflict of interest for.
I guess we're kind of like the CIA in this scenario.
Yeah, we are smuggling. We do get smuggled hot sauce, and we do give it out,
and we do
in hopes of creating an El Yucateco hot sauce epidemic.
And we do
epidemic.
Endorse it. Yeah, yes. We're hoping to have the El Yucateco epidemic. That is our goal,
and it's happening. We're spreading the love.
We get a lot. I've gotten several requests this week alone from people in different states on Facebook and on Instagram wanting to know where they can get El Yucateco.
I'll tell you, it's at the store, fuckers. Well, you go
apparently
there.
They've gone to a couple stores and haven't found them.
I can say Walmart nationwide carries red and green. So if you have a Walmart, it's highly likely you're going to find that in the hot sauce section, but you won't find all the flavors.
You won't find I like to call them the exotic flavors.
Yes,
the exotic Black
flavors.
Label, the Triple X, jalapeno.
But I found out Chipotle. Heb is like, I don't know, wherever that last person, Yanuri Dietrich. Is that Dietrich?
I don't know. No.
Yeah. Yanuri. Mm-hmm. The one that Brad was mean to. But anyways, hers is at Heb, wherever she lived. That's a place that's like a Walmart, I guess. It's H-E-B. Never heard of it. Nope. That blows my mind. Like Carl's Jr.'s is Hardee's. Mm-hmm. You know, weird stuff like that.
Why does that blow your mind?
I don't know. Why not just call it Carl's Jr.'s or just call it
it's
Hardee's?
Two different companies.
No, it's one company.
You know what? Hardee's would fail here. If you called it Hardee's in California, it's done.
Well, the thing is, I know because I'm from back east. Hardee's was a chain everywhere, and it was nothing like Carl's Jr. Yep. But in the 1990s, Carl's Jr. bought Hardee's and turned Hardee's into Carl's Jr. Yeah. But they already had all the restaurants. They already had all the labeling. Yeah.
Well, you're probably familiar with Faygo soda.
Yes.
It's Shasta.
My favorite.
So. Shasta.
Shasta is not Faygo.
No. Yeah, it's the same company.
We talked about Faygo. It came from Germany. That was a German drink created... Wasn't it?
No, Fanta came from Germany.
Oh, that's right. Faygo's for the...
Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going there.
That's
Faygo Red Pop.
That's an East Coast drink. It's an East Coast drink, and it's Shasta here.
Oh, okay.
It's different, though.
They don't have any of the... If it is Shasta, then
it's the same company.
It's just a company name, but they don't have any of the same flavors.
Trust me, Dave. I know.
Dave's mad about Red Pop.
I'm mad. Yeah. No,
you got that Red Pop? I tried that Red Pop that you got or whatever. It's just like...
I know.
It's just
they used to have Red Pop here. It was called Red Pop.
I don't think. Was it Big Red?
Oh, maybe.
It was Big Red.
That was Big Red. Yeah, that
it's just like red soda. It's like
was it Kool-Aid? Yep, that's what it was.
If you're from back east and you're drinking Faygo Red Pop, you're fucking lucky because I'm in California. And
we have people back east. So if you want to send us something, send Dave some Red Pop so he gets off his period.
So delicious. Yeah. I have some. There's a local liquor store that sells it, but they sell it like fucking $3 a bottle like it's some gourmet shit. But back in Michigan, it's like the... it's like the cheapest generic shit there. It's like it's cheaper than like the Albertsons brand.
Yeah, see, I drink the Tiki Punch cheapest. Shasta.
Yeah. No,
when I went to Europe, like
it's like a 1.5 liters too, though. Like it's like a bigger jug.
It is.
In Italy, when we were like backpacking in Europe, like wine was cheaper than water. And I knew I couldn't say that without Brad bragging.
Look at me.
I was homeless, lost 30 pounds, my feet bled, and it was fucking rough. So
I went to Italy and I lost weight. Look at me.
And that I lost
dapper
weight. It was hardly a diet. I ate from the trash can.
Look at my part, guys.
So anyway, the wine from California was super expensive, which would be like probably.
Oh, was this when you were hiking in Italy?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
California
yeah.
wine was super expensive.
Yeah.
And then the imported. Italian wine that I was probably drinking like the a $60 bottle of wine right. for $2. Like yeah. it was like $2 chuck here in my backpack because wine was cheaper than water and all the water was carbonated.
But you can't bring it back with you.
You could bring like you could mail it There's or something. So People much, were doing yeah. it. People were mailing it. But
yeah, because they're like, oh, it's $150 bottle of wine. Let's send it yeah. back. Let's Heck get yeah. like 10 of them and get a yeah. crate.
No,
yeah.
So for the record, I had $600 for 30 days. It was hardly a luxury trip. I starved. I lost weight because I was like,
so
I almost was like,
I don't even hear you right now. What are you talking about? Your trip in Europe again?
Dapper.
Yeah.
So, still talking about that?
Well, no. I was going to say, I want to thank the Toll family. My neighbor, Josh Toll and his wife, Kim, gave us a bottle of Four Roses. Subsequently, on the same day that we got the bottle of Four Roses from Mixed Feelings podcast, so but we were drinking that today. So thank you, Josh. And
we're going to drink that in the beginning of this next.
We'll
episode.
Drink it on Actually, the next yeah. episode.
Oh, you haven't drank it? What'd you drink?
Maybe I did take a drink.
Oh, he did drink.
I just didn't talk about it.
Anyway, we will indoctrinate.
We'll drink
I just wanted to say something. Soon. So thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Other sponsors we talked
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we need to take one of those sponsors. That was a lot of
Dark Side Graphics for our T-shirts and coffee mugs. No,
no, just
our t-shirts and coffee. What are the
koozies?
There we go. I couldn't get it out. Man, I'm having trouble today.
Oh, and congratulations. Punky Brewster had a baby.
Yep.
Oh, very, very nice.
It's a beautiful Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Name's,
awesome.
Its name is Soleil Moonfry. Yep.
Wow.
What?
This is just a so far off track. Punky name. Brewster, Tyrannosaurus Rex, Soleil
Moonfry. That's an awesome name.
The actress who played Punky Brewster.
Oh, wow.
Really? Hold on now. I'm looking that up. This is bullshit. I don't even know how to spell that. Moon. Oh, shit. It is.
A weird bit of knowledge.
Don't test me on the 80s.
Soleil. Oh, wow.
Moonfry.
Yep.
That's a real God-given Soleil, last name.
It's S-O-L-I-E-L, I think.
And he knows how to spell it. Like, so weird. My spelling
somebody
was S-O-L-E-Y.
Somebody had a little bit of an obsession with Punky Brewster.
Well, she's very pretty now. Yeah. Crazy.
Anyway, so congratulations, Kevin Brewster, for your new baby, Soleil Moonfry, yep. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Slowly start putting El Yucateco drops in their bottle. This is when you start them. Wow. This is when you start them.
And don't tell anybody you're doing that.
Yeah, you'll
course.
Get judged, but yes. in the long run.
We want to thank Salt 7 for being awesome. If you haven't done float therapy, if your body hurts, if your mind hurts, come to Bakersfield. If you're already in Bakersfield, you can skip that part because you've already come to Bakersfield. But go to Salt 7.
Yeah.
Check them out. Give them a call. Reserve a spot.
They actually have spots open today. I saw on Facebook.
Yeah,
so
if you're like me, I'm not really like – that's not something I'm super into, but I would say at least try it. Like you really got to go and try it because you'll find out you'd like it. It's one of those things that like I'm not a person to go get massages, you know? So like, but once you go get a massage, you're like, oh, well, this is why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
I have two scheduled this week.
Yeah.
One on Monday, one on Tuesday.
So Brent is over the top. I need to go. I have no time.
I'm enjoying it more each time I do it.
So we're you know, the three different people, different lifestyles, all enjoy it. So get in there and if you're from the area, I mean, I would say it's worth a 4-hour drive.
Absolutely.
Like if you're within 4 hours.
I drove to Venice a couple times to do it.
Yeah. Those are filthy, you probably got scabies in that thing.
No, if you're out of town, come to Bakersfield, stay at the Padre Hotel, walk 2 blocks over.
And the Padre's haunted.
And while,
so
you're, and
cool.
while you're there,
and
if
awesome.
You need to print out any pictures, Digital Creations is 2 doors down from that because I almost
that's
forgot
true.
To mention them.
And you can get a blanket with – I want to get a blanket with my face on it.
Just and if you're in that – if you stay at the Padre and walk to Digital Creations and Salt 7, you're also within walking distance of our studio. So let us know and we'll give you a tour.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, our studio sucks.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be legit. Is that it?
Thank you, Dan Camarillo, too.
Yes, Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu.
Teach us how to choke people.
Yep. And I'm trying to get Brent to stop making fun of you, Dan. It's hard.
That never happened. Someone's setting me up right now.
I don't know, Dave.
I don't know.
Fuck you guys.
That's not even a funny joke. I'm just saying, Brent's impression of you when he talks about you is not, I don't know why he makes fun of you like he does. I don't understand it.
Never going back.
I thought you were a really cool guy, and he just keeps on making fun of you just behind your back. I don't know what the deal is. So, Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu in Bakersfield, they are widely known. The Camarillos are legends in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo and MMA. So if you are in town and you want to train, or you're going to be close, stop in and witness,
choke one of us. Yeah.
The legendness. So yeah. Yeah. You can get Brent.
You could successfully get me. You try to get Brad.
Yeah.
Probably choke me.
Anyway, is that it? Don't be a retard.
I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. Got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I got it for the Lolo.
Turn up.
I'm in love with the coco. Hit my plug, that's my cholo. Cause he got it for the Lolo. You snitching, I go loco. Hit you with that 3-8. Niggas thinking that I'm solo. 50 deep, they like, oh no.
No, 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 please, no.
Heard the fans taking photos. I know nothing, fuck the popo. Baking soda, I got baking soda. Baking soda, I got baking soda. Whip it through the glass, nigga. Whoop, 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 whoop. I'm blowing money fast, nigga. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I got it for the Lolo.
Turn up.
I'm in love with the coco. 36, that's a kilo.
I get.
Need a brick, miss my free throw.
Then wait.
I'm in love just like Neo. Bustin' shots, now he Neo. Free my homies, fuck the CEO.
Puto.
Fuck the judge, fuck my PO.
Puto.
All this talk like I'm Nino. Water whip like I'm Nemo. Baking soda, I got baking soda. Baking soda, I got baking soda. Whip it through the glass, nigga. Whoop, 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 whoop. I'm blowing money fast, nigga. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco. I got it for the Lolo.
Turn up.
I'm in love with the coco.